I'm back with another episode of the Robert Hutchins Show. Surprise, surprise, 2 in 1 week. Wow. I told y'all the other day I'm going to start being more committed to this thing and publishing shows more regularly. I'm shooting for 3 days a week going forward, starting next week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And so, I'm really looking forward to it. I've got to work on some content going forward. But like I said last time, we're going to continue with the motivational stuff right now. And I'm going to do a few more episodes on that. But today I'm going to talk to y'all about living with a long-term illness, health condition, physical condition, mental condition, stress, whatever. And as well as being a caregiver to someone who's got some form of health condition. So to start it off, let me tell you a little bit about our situation. Right now we've got a daughter. She was born with spina bifida, and we really got lucky because it could have been a lot worse. Based on what I've seen and read, some kids are just really bad off in a wheelchair, spinal cord fluid on the brain, you know, hard to take care of because of that, lots of hands-on, and we don't have that with her. We have certain things, mostly bladder-related, but that's it. And so we have to keep up with that, get catheter supplies and whatnot, deal with the emotional aspect of it, because sometimes it is hard for her and hard for us. And then also we have a son who's on the autism spectrum, and that with that started out, everything seemed normal, neurotypical, meeting milestones and everything, and then all of a sudden we noticed he wasn't, and you know, he was getting close to being a year old and not speaking, and he had started off, I mean, he was able to say some words, and then it just went to like zero, and it was like that till he was five and a half, something like that, and he started communicating, of course, started speech therapy, or we even got a diagnosis, because luckily their pediatrician started based on the symptoms, and so he started speech, occupational therapy, and physical therapy, and he's been doing that since he was 15 months old, and he's 10 now, so it's been a while, but he has made a lot of progress. One of the things we saw with him, though, is anxiety went through the roof, and it got to a point where we couldn't even get him in the car. We couldn't get him out of the house, couldn't get him in the car, and his behavior was off the charts, and physical and everything else, and they oftentimes have meltdowns, and so that's when the physical aspect of it comes into play. So we've had to deal with that, and then always we're under quite a bit of stress. It's gotten better over the years because, you know, we've gotten used to it, and my daughter's fine, and you know, like we say with her, we know we're fortunate. We do have to deal with things, but you know, we've gotten in a routine. So she's gotten older. She's been able to take care of herself quite a bit now, and so that's all good. And then with my son, it comes and goes. We had to start him on medication when he got really, really stressed, and we've never been real big on the medicating. We always try to work around it, but I mean, he was getting to where he couldn't even function. because of the anxiety and the behavior and everything else, so we had to do it. But, you know, it's up and down. And so, you know, depending on that, what kind of day he's having, could be more stress, could be more dealing with behavioral issues, and sometimes having to restrain. It's not near what it was. It used to be multiple times a day, every day. We're fortunate in that. But then, also, my wife's got fibromyalgia and something else. I think rheumatoid arthritis. And so she's in a lot of pain usually every day that she has to get through. And then with me, I've got vertigo. And that I've had on and off all my life, but used to be maybe once a year, once every couple of years, two or three times a year, every couple of years, whatever. And starting probably about 3 or 4 years ago, it started getting to be weekly, daily, multiple times a day. The symptoms worsen. I mean, I can't count the number of times I had to go to the ER. And of course, now we know, like, there's basically nothing that they can do. If I was throwing up a lot and getting dehydrated, I would probably need to go get an IV. But I try to, you know, minimize that. I take, anytime I start spinning, I have to take a nausea pill. And I used to take meclizine to help with the spinning, but I have vertigo from meniere's in both ears. I actually got the hearing loss from the meniere's. And then right now they're saying I also have positional vertigo as well as central vertigo. So it's crazy, and I'm unable to work right now. I worked as a claims adjuster, and it got to a point where I started noticing, because I was always on the computer at least 8 hours a day, and that's how the claims system was set up. So I had to be on the computer, and I started noticing I could just be looking at something on the computer, and you can't see a whole document or a whole note right in front of you where you don't have to move your head or your eyes. So, move my eyes, you know, reading a report or whatever, notes, and it would trigger it. I'd feel my eyes feeling funky, and then it would always trigger vertigo spells. So, it got to where I just couldn't handle it. And so I'm on disability right now, hoping to get back, because I really need to work. And but I've had to go to a ton of doctors, do a ton of unpleasant tests. I've still got more to do that will probably make me sick while doing them, because they have to do certain things to figure out. And it looks like trying to determine whether it's vestibular, caused by something with my vestibular system or my central nervous system. And I think if it's central nervous system, I don't think there's a whole lot you can do about it. But it's where, I mean, I'm pretty much dizzy all the time. It's not always severe, but I have to stay off of computer, TV a lot of times. I can't really watch things. It's mostly a computer, shifting my eyes back and forth, up and down, all that. So I do that, but you know, at times it's downright depressing. I'm not gonna lie, but we both, you know, just come up with our own systems to handle things, because there's so much on us. And with me, I try to focus on things other than what's going on. At times it's hard to do because I have to focus on my breathing and I have to focus on holding myself totally still. And that's not easy to always do and just kind of blank out and think about something positive. But that's what I try to do. And I pray a lot. I'm a Christian and I pray a lot. And, after a while it'll let up. And I'm just, I go with that. And it's not always, and that's the thing with these long-term health conditions. It's not always like where something is completely taken away from you. So you may still have to deal with things like with my vertigo. I still deal with it, but I appreciate like if I'm having a day where it's not so severe, or if it gets to where it's bad. I appreciate the fact that it backs off to where I'm not feeling nauseous. Because that's the whole thing with me. If I have it, it's not fun. It's downright scary. And I've actually had an episode in the past where we had woken up one Saturday, and I was sitting next to my wife on the bed, and I turned to my right to talk to her. And I saw and felt the bed, like one side of the bed raise up and back down, and the other side back raise up and back down. And I immediately that day I went to the ER because it was like really, really bad. I couldn't get past the throwing up. But it's downright scary sometimes. So I just have to try my best to stay calm and. I hate it that I can't work because I loved what I did, but I also know like I've got to get through this, and so I have to be accepting of how I am right now. Like, what can I do now, as opposed to what was I doing? Because if you focus on what you were doing and able to do that you can't do now, you'll drive yourself mad. And talk about getting yourself down in the dumps, So I work on that, and then I just do what I can. I mean, it's like this podcast. I don't have to really look at my phone. I can get my wife to help me. I just get on here and talk. I don't have to be on a computer. In the sense of I have to sit there and read something that could trigger my vertigo. And then, I can do it when I need to do it. And, publish stuff as I am able to do. And that gets my mind off of what's going on with me. And I know my wife is the same way. Like, she writes books and she's got a few published books. And so, like, she'll work on that when she's hurting. And then also, she'll read Bible studies and whatnot and pray. But it's all a team effort. Like, we all have to help each other out and encourage each other. And be there for each other. And if you can find someone and, a support system like that, it definitely helps. And so that's how we handle things and try to stay positive. I don't get like with me, I try not to get caught up in other people's problems, like in the sense of like I've been a part of groups before and it's like you see people, and they're—I mean, yeah—they've got it. They've got it hard. They've got it bad, and I can certainly understand it, but if I start letting that impact me, I could be where I'm mentally not as tough. So I try to avoid certain things because there are a lot of people who will bring you down just because you try to empathize with them and you start basically feeling the same thing. And so I try to avoid stuff like that. Now, with the autism community, yeah, we're involved in that because you can get a lot of stuff, and my wife's involved in that and whatnot. But yes, but the main thing is just stay positive. Don't worry about what you used to do that you can no longer do. Focus on the here and now and try to stay calm, because you don't know, number one, if it will ever be fully taken away from you, and you just have to trust that you'll be given the tools to be able to handle whatever you're going through. And in most cases, that happens. Like, I still, as a Christian, I believe in miracles, but like with my condition, I don't think it'll ever be fully taken away. I believe that, it will hopefully improve, and if not, I'll be given tools to be able to cope with what I'm dealing with. And I just try to keep a positive mindset, because there are a lot of things I can't do that I was able to do before this got real bad. And there's at times, a lot of fears I have, because when I'm having something bad, like I can't even really walk. Like, I couldn't get out of bed, go to the bathroom, and without help. So, yeah, it's very, and then it feels, whenever they get bad, it feels like I'm going to faint or pass out or whatever. It's just, it gets that severe, and I have had panic attacks to go along with it at times, and then that gets the chest tightened up and weird sensations in the chest, and you start thinking something's going on with the heart, and it's just really freaky. So I do my best to stay calm and just not focus on it, and keep telling myself this too shall pass, and try to do whatever I can that day. And in a supportive role, like with our kids, we just have to be there with them, keep working with them, keep them motivated and positive, and be there for them when they do get down, because they are going to get down. It's just part of life. Nobody's going to go through life every single day and stay chipper when things happen. You just have to kind of look at it as, hey, I had a rough day, or rough hour or two, or rough half a day, whatever, and keep moving forward. And that's the way I started looking at it. And my previous podcast was Don't Have Another Bad Day, and that's what that was all about. Was it's a lot of our days, we all go through stuff, we're all gonna go through stuff, but it's a mindset. And it's the same way when you are going through something long term health wise, or you're a caregiver. And so, and with them, like, get them counseling, get them therapies, whatever they need. We have to be willing to do that. And, with my son, we saw right away, hey, there's no way both of us are going to be able to work. And yeah, things have always been tight. But I would rather see that, because it's more rewarding to me to see him and the improvements he's made. And, my wife homeschools him, because that didn't work out when we tried him in public school. She had her degree in education and taught at private schools. She never got into public school, but taught at private schools, so she's able to work with him in a way that he can grasp and understand. And, you know, that's important. And you have to be willing to make the hard decisions too. And that's, you know, you just got to pray about it and gather information and be an advocate for whoever you're taking care of and make the best decision possible. So, anyway, that's all I had. I hope this helps someone, gives you an idea. Everybody is capable of handling more than they think they can handle. I truly believe it's all about mindset. And but don't doubt yourself. If you ever go through this, don't doubt yourself. Just do the best you can. That's all you can do. Whether you're suffering from a long-term illness or you're a caregiver for someone suffering from a long-term illness, and it's never fun, but it's definitely doable. And so everyone, you can get through it. And so just, you know, bless you if you're going through one of those things. I feel for you. But anyway, until next time, I will talk to y'all later. I'm going to try to get one out tomorrow, and then I'm going to hit it on next week where I'm doing 3, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I couldn't tell you what time each day because I never know how I'm going to feel, but I will get those out. So, and I don't know what I'm going to do the next one on. I got to give it some brain time. So anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And those who have listened to my other podcasts, I greatly appreciate it. Until next time, I'm out.